Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Your holy name. Thank you for the privilege of fellowship. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of access. Thank you for the privilege of standing before you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. May your name be glorified forever. In the name of Jesus. Just be silent for a moment and just honor the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a moment. What a moment. You know, God is glorious. It will take eternity for us to begin to really come to comprehend the excellency of the glory of God. Nothing else matters. Standing in God's presence is all life is about. To see Him, to know Him, and to represent him, to reflect him. What an honor. What an honor. You know, the angel came to Nazareth to deliver a message to Mary, and then, of course, to also deliver a message to Zacharias. And it's amazing that a cherubim, an angel of that rank in heaven, knew there was something more important than his rank. And when he was speaking to Zacharias, he didn't say, "I'm a cherubim." There's something superior to his rank. It's the privilege of standing in the presence. He said, "Before God, whom I stand." What an honor. Just lift your hands one more time and honor the Lord. I'm just broken. I can't summon energy. I'm just broken. That the Lord may open our understanding to understand what it means to stand before Him. That the Lord may help us sincerely. Hail the standing child's power,
the redeemed, we worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels, the redeemed, we worship you.
We worship you now.
We cry,
holy, 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 holy are you.
Jesus walked the face of the earth, he carried so much glory that demons could not stand in his presence. He walked into the synagogue and demons began to scream and to flee. Men could not stand before him. Men. Jesus had to consciously withdraw the weight of the glory to be able to walk among men. Because when they came to arrest him and they thought they came with strength, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And for the first time, he unleashed the weight of his glory. He said, "I am he." And they went back and fell. They stood up again and gathered themselves, came towards him. He said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I told you already, I am he." That means if Jesus wanted to walk in his glory, nobody can stand. And the same Jesus was praying, and he said, "Father," he said, "restore to me the glory that we had before the foundation of the world." That means God decided to withdraw glory, because if glory comes to the earth, this earth will melt. That's why I said the elements of the earth, it will melt. He had to seclude. What we call glory is actually not glory. Because when Paul was granted access to see where God dwells, he said, "God dwells in light, unapproachable." He had to withdraw glory from earth. The economy of glory, if it comes into the earth realm, the earth will dematerialize. But through fellowship and through love, he allows us to come and participate in a measure. In a measure. Can we worship God one more time with that song?
Say, "Holy are you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
The human race from ignorance. There's so much we don't know. There's so much. When men walk around and spirits look upon them, they marvel at their ignorance. The things men pursue, how mundane. You know, Moses touched power. He brought down Egypt. He brought down the strongest civilization in his time. But when understanding was granted to Moses, he begged for one thing. He says, show me thy glory. I've seen power. I've seen nations fall. But there's an economy that is superior to power. He says, show me. And God said, no man can see my glory and live. Because when you see the weight, you can't be a man anymore. The excellency of the glory is not an exegesis. It's transformation. He said, when we see him, we shall be like him. If you see my glory, you will become a god. You can't see me and be a man. How do you think the 24 elders and the four beasts, the Bible says forever and ever, day and night, without ceasing, they keep beholding him and they are not tired? Man is falling. Man is falling. Ah. You see, there's an atmosphere here. There is a cloud that is descending here in the spirit. There are some of you that are about to be caught up. Caught up. It didn't come for formality. The lives of few of you are about to change forever. There is a weight coming here now. It's a weight of glory. You know, when the glory comes, it allows you to speak so that things will happen. There's a weight coming here now. It will not just swallow your infirmities, but it's about to catch some people. It's like a rapture. It's the economy of rapture. Your infirmities are about to be swallowed up. Ah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If we don't stop here, we may not be able to proceed with the service. We love you, Father. I'm seeing people being carried in the spirit. People are being carried. What's happening here now is superior to my teaching. People are being carried. Some of you, is when you leave this service, you will discover that you will enter the world from this mountain with a new level of glory. The things you used to pray for will happen when you show up. Thank you, Father. And everyone who came here with an infirmity, that infirmity has been swallowed up. So much is happening in the glory. So much. I'm seeing somebody on this gallery here that has a condition of with the stomach, indigestion. There is this serious condition that has created unrest. But the Lord says infirmities are being swallowed. Infirmities. Infirmities. Infirmities.
The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Father. You just discover you have been healed. I'm telling you honestly. You know, I came in from Abeokuta 2 days ago. And when I was done teaching, the Lord said, because their heart opened, he said, I've healed the sick. And nobody prayed for anybody. When I said, if you are healed, come out. Over 40 persons rushed out. They were already healed. They are not trusting God. And so strange things happen under different atmospheres. You can't live here with an infirmity. I'm not exercising faith. I'm telling you what is happening. You can't live here with an infirmity. There's somebody with a neck condition around this pillar here. Something like a neck fracture condition of some sort. You will just be checking your body and discover things are happening. I don't want to take. If we press it, we may study here for too long. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Please be seated. Let this presence rest on your heart and shift you. I just felt broken. I'm wondering how to start sharing. Maybe I should travel to another quarter. Because where we are now, I can't share. All my joints are heavy. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, we give you praise. From our hearts, we bless your name. You are worthy of my praise. And to you the song we raise. Lord, we give you praise.
I'm trying to relocate.
From my heart, we bless your name. You are worthy of my praise. And to you the song we raise. Yeah.
Lord, we give you praise. From my heart, bless your name. Yeah. 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 Lord, we give you praise.
Yeah.
From our hearts, we bless your name.
Open our Bibles. You know, sound is a means of transport. If you come to a location where you can't function, you can relocate with sound. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You know, this is our month of walking in authority. And having received the word of the Lord, it's also important for us to teach us how to bring administration to that which God has said. Because if we don't learn how to bring administration to it, only few will walk in it. And so the idea or the job of teaching is to bring every one of us into the experience of that which is said. And so this is why we are trying to examine the scriptures to bring out a few things that will help us understand. You know, when we started teaching from the first week, one of the emphases that was brought to us by the Holy Spirit is the top place of authority in the heart of Jesus. Jesus considered authority as very, very important. And there were a few scriptures that we read to help us understand and to accept that position. And one of those scriptures is Luke chapter 24, verse 49. When Jesus
resurrected from the dead, you would expect that the most important things he had in mind were the things he would share. You know, usually when a man is about to die and depart, the most important things of his life are the things he shares. Because you don't have so much luxury. There was a flight waiting for Jesus from Zion. He was about to be caught up. And so it was not time for him to say unimportant things. Of course, Jesus never says anything that is not important. However, the urgency demanded that he zeroed into the most important of things. And so Jesus gave them these instructions. He said, just in case I'm no more with you, when I'm resurrected, he said, there's an economy that will be activated. And the economy will be the economy of power. And so he told them, don't go out with your discipleship manual. I know you followed me for 3 years. I know you walked with me. You saw miracles. You saw signs and wonders. And you heard my teaching. He said, but this teaching will be null and void when you begin to contend with creatures of power. And so for you to be relevant in your world, what you need to do is to tarry until you are endued with power. That means Jesus was trying to let the disciples know that the authority they will receive here is the most important menu of all the trainings that he gave them. If they don't receive authority, the discipleship manual is a waste. He didn't stop there. He also told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And then you think when the Holy Ghost comes, the most important thing the Holy Ghost will bring to them first will either be access to heaven. And Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, the first commodity that the Holy Ghost will bring with him is power. He said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Because power is that important. Now, when Jesus came to them bodily after resurrection, the first thing he started talking about was power. In fact, when he entered, they say, all hail the king. The monarch had come. And this monarchy is not a function of politics. He actually disarmed principalities and powers. He made a show of them. He came back from the grave. The authority he had as a king was not a function of political ideologies. This authority came by defeating death and by defeating all the powers that is in Hades. And so he came with an introduction. He said, hail the monarch. And the moment he showed up, he started talking to them again about authority. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you now go in that power. And so the idea Jesus was communicating to us is that at the foundation of our experience in life is power. If there's no authority at the foundation of our experience in life, we will live a defeated life and we will not fulfill that which God has in mind concerning us, no matter how much love God has to show. And so authority, I told us in that class or in that service, is the foundation of a life of glory. It's a foundation of the experience of God. When you look at believers today across different spectrum and across different strata, what you discover is that our experiences vary. And one of the things or one of the reasons for that variation is the measure of authority we walk in. You see one believer walking in a glorious experience, and then you see another believer walking in defeat. Not because God loves one more than the other. The actual reason is because one understands authority and is walking in it. Because authority is designed, the economy of authority is designed to walk in understanding. There is an understanding you come into that helps you to begin to walk in full authority. And so when you see the difference and the variation in the life of believers, it's actually a testimony of the measure of authority they are walking in. If you assume for a second, you know, most times when we go through things, we start asking God why. And most times when you see people walking a glorious life, you say God loves them. You say God has helped them. Sir, God has helped all of us. And God loves all of us. The difference in our experiences are the measures of authority we command. And so if there is one thing you must do for yourself, is to understand how authority works. Because your understanding of how authority works is what will upgrade the quality of your existence. It's not where you live that determines the quality of your life. There are many persons today that think if they relocated to the UK, meanwhile, if you are led of God, that's good. You know, it's difficult to say things in the 21st century. Because the world has become a global village. Anything you say is all over the world at the same time. So there's a burden of balance that is placed on every teacher. Now, there's nothing wrong in relocating to the UK. That's not the point I'm making. If God is leading you there, that's beautiful. But if God is not leading you there, please don't deceive yourself to think that if you relocate to the UK today, your life will be better. I've been there. It's a robotic life. You can work in that city for 10 years and you don't have two friends. Because everybody is running around the clock to survive. There are many pastors that went there. Today they sell food. Usually, unless God has helped you in your own language, most people that live in the UK is one parlor in Nigeria. They divide it into four rooms. There's no space. So your bedroom is the size of your bed, and then you throw into your bathroom, and then you throw into your parlor. And when you go out, you are going to walk. You walk till night and come back. You operate that routine for 4 years. By the time 4 years passes, you start finding gray hair. You will now know that this system is designed to smuggle God out of your soul. Because that system will make you run and walk around the clock. You will suddenly discover that prayer times become too long. Because when you go to places like that, time becomes blood. If you come to church and you sit for 2 hours, you will start judging church based on the economic value. If you go to a prayer meeting and they pray for 40 minutes, you will ask, what is the purpose of this prayer? Because every second is calculated in terms of money, not minutes and seconds. Every time is money. If you are not careful, you will be shocked that you will leave to work. And even what you are working for, you won't eat it. It's a rigid system. Don't jump into it because you see people snapping by London Bridge. When you go there, you will discover it's heavy deception until God is sending you there. If God is not sending you there, please stay in Nigeria here. Let your life count. But if God is sending you there, go with faith and take over. Because God sent Abraham to a city. And Lot, on the other hand, saw a city that was full of green vegetation. The guy who went to the city of green vegetation escaped with his two daughters. The man who God sent, who went to a dry ground, it became the land of milk and honey. So it's not where you are that determines your quality of existence. It's the authority with which you are walking. And authority is weaved into understanding. And so if you want to improve the quality of your life, you need to glean the kind of understanding that makes authority to work. But before I delve into it this evening, let me quickly define authority. So when we receive it, we'll have an idea what to do with it. Or having received understanding to use it, we'll now have an idea on how to put it to work. Authority is invested power. Invested. Power that is invested. Now you know that power is the ability to do. Power is an ability to create change. Now, when power is invested upon a man or a system, that power that is invested is called authority. Now, this power, amongst other things, comes to achieve four major things. The first thing power invested comes to do is to engender transformation. And so when authority is in expression, what you will see is that the quality of existence will be upgraded because authority came to engender transformation. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it said, as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become. So the goal of authority in that scripture is the ability to become. These men were helplessly bound by the powers of darkness. He said, but now authority has come, and what authority came to do is to upgrade them from the family of Satan to the family of God. Is to upgrade them from a wasted life to a meaningful life. Meaningful not just in time, but in eternity. And so authority number one is invested power to engender transformation. The second definition of authority in the same context is invested power to create change. And so transformation is change within, and change in its original sense is without, external. And so when authority or power is invested, one of the ways you see it in motion is that the externalities will begin to change. The things around you will be altered. And the reason is because you have come into authority. And so authority is invested power to what? engender change. One is internal, which is transformation, and the other is external. The third definition of authority, using the same context, is the power to enforce dominion. Now, dominion is government. It will be impossible for you to bring a kingdom to a context except as you have authority. You know, when you go out to win souls, you will assume that soul winning is to understand the gospel and to say it intelligently. Until you actually go to the mission field, that's where you will discover that soul winning is war. Because what you are trying to do is to uproot one kingdom and to establish another kingdom. You don't meet a lady who is fornicating or a man who is a drunk, and then you just assume that because you say God loves you, he will leave all of those things. You will have to root out the powers that kept him in captivity for him to be able to come into your own kingdom. And so every time a kingdom is advanced, authority is in view. For those who are elders here that understood the things that happened in Nigeria in the 60s and in the 50s, because we have few persons with such who are blessed that much, they know what happened. When the British government invaded our borders, they didn't come with English language. They came with tanks and with weapons of war. Our lands were not surrendered because they spoke well. Our lands were surrendered because they came with power. And when we wanted to war with them with our bow and arrow, we discovered they have strange equipment that could kill from a distance. And they don't just kill one. They can kill 5, 10, 20 ones. When we discovered that their equipping was superior to ours, we now put our bows down and surrendered. And so every time you see kingdom advancing, what you are seeing is actually authority in motion. And so the third definition of authority is the ability to advance a government. The ability to advance a kingdom. That's why God, when he created man in Genesis 1:28, he said, let them have dominion. Because he was giving them the earth realm. There were lions in the earth. Animals that could tear apart. The man had no weapon. All he had was authority. And because he had authority, the lions were puppets. There were dark princes on the face of the earth that would negate the advancement of Eden. Because Eden is an extension of heaven. And here was God giving the man the patent to advance heaven to dominate the earth realm. The only basis through which that could be achieved was that authority would be invested in that man. And so authority is the ability to advance kingdom. And finally, authority is the ability to keep the enemies at bay. Authority is the ability to overcome and to overpower contrary forces and to establish the will of the one you represent. So on one hand, you enter into enemy camp, disperse them and take over. On another hand, you refuse the enemy entry your own camp to create chaos. When you find a man who is progressively transforming, or when you find a man who is progressively creating change around him, or when you find a man who is bringing philosophies and ideas that are alien to a context, to that context, and enforcing those ideas, or when you find a man who refuses invasion into his context, the only name to call that man is a man in authority. Because authority is the ability to engender transformation. Authority is the ability to create change. Authority is the ability to institute government. And authority is the ability to keep your context without contrary powers and contrary invasions. In Psalm 66 verse 3, it says, say unto God, how terrible are thy works. It says, through the greatness of thy power. It said, thy enemies submit themselves to thee. They don't submit themselves because they became reasonable and discovered God should be worshipped. If they had their way, they would still challenge his powers. But they found out that even if they tried a billion times, they will not win. And so having understood this, they decided to submit to God. Now, if you are struggling with issues in your life and you are not able to overcome them, it means you are lacking in authority. Because that sin you are committing came to reduce the quality of your existence. You don't love beer. You don't love sex. You don't love lying. You are in bondage. A spirit brought a new intelligence into your ecosystem. And what he wants to do is to reduce the quality of your being. Because when you were designed, you were designed to operate like God. But you see, God does not lie. If you continue lying, it means the quality of your existence will be beneath the standard of God. And so the demons know the height and the standard of God. So what they want to do is to reduce the quality of your own existence. If authority does not come, you will continue like that. If you like, make resolutions, you'll be tired. I told you how I made resolution on January 1st. In fact, the resolution was made with fasting. But before 12 o'clock, I discovered the list I created, four of them had already been violated. I now discovered it is not just choice that makes change, it's power. There has to be power. When that power comes and transformation begins to come, you know that authority is in place. Because when those demons come to tweak your mind, they will now discover that your mind has been reset. They can no longer exercise dominion there. And the quality of your life begins to increase progressively because authority has come. Now, when things happen around you and you can't control them, it means there's a lack of authority. The demons invade and suddenly somebody falls sick and die. The demons invade, manipulate your boss and they kick you out of job. It means you can't keep your ecosystem. You need power to bring your own government there so that favor will speak for you. So that things will work in your advantage. If you are able to do that, it means authority is there. Authority. Because demons will try to... If they cannot affect the quality of your life from within, they will distort it from without. So what they do is that they come into you to dominate you from within. If you keep that gate and they discover they can't, they now come to the external. Your car breaks down or somebody takes ill. When all of these things are happening, you now discover you will lose your balance. And you know it is said that the water outside of the boat can't sink it. It is the water within. So when they want to create balance within, they offset without. And as you see sickness, see all of the things happening, turbulence begin here. And when turbulence begin here, you now discover that your boat become porous and then they enter and begin to sink you. And so in addition to upgrading, you have to keep your ecosystem. Nothing should happen around you. You should make things happen around you. And anything you don't permit should not enter your ecosystem. If you are not living like that, it means you don't have authority. That means this class is for you. Pay attention. Hey, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ah, hey. Hey, hey, ha. Ah, 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 ah. Once upon a time, every day I must take paracetamol because there's this strange headache on one side of my head that won't let me rest. And I didn't have much money to waste on drugs. And I'll say, wait, I won't be repairing myself all the time. Hope you know your first environment is your body. This is earth. When God said, have dominion over the earth, he wasn't primarily talking about land. He was talking about you, your body, before the land, because your body is the earth. Are we together? I say, I won't waste money repairing myself again. Body takes shape. And body had to take shape so that money can be used for something else. But it will take a kind of understanding to operate like that. If my property spoils twice, I get offended. Things don't spoil around me. I use them, and when I can't use them anymore, I give it out, including clothes. I can't sit somewhere and I stood up and a nail tear my trousers. Nothing should spoil. He said, gather every fragment, let nothing be wasted. If I use it and I see a need for somebody else, I carry it, I put it together and give them. There are many people I give clothes to. When they receive it, it is as though I bought it a day before. Everything must be in order. It has to be in order. I don't allow anything damage around me. I understand the place of wear and tear. that when you use things over time, the quality can degrade. But over and above that, I also know that demons come to destroy things. That gate is perpetually shut around me. And tonight, what the Holy Ghost wants to do is to give you power to keep your context both within and without. That's the idea behind the subject of authority. It is the power for transformation. It is the power to create change. It is the power to establish government. And it is the power to subdue the enemy so that you rule in your context. And this is how God created us to exist. Before you walk out of this service, you would have come into authority. So last week, I began to explain that there are four dimensions of authority. The subject of authority is divided into four contexts. The first context of the subject of authority is birth. A man in authority is born into it. And I gave you a funny illustration last week, how that my brother, who gave birth to a son in the United States, wanted to come into Nigeria. And they told the U.S. citizen that you need visa. And I told you, it's not only U.S. we collect visa to go to. There are many people in the United States now laboring to get visa to come to Nigeria. And you will be shocked that some of the hardest countries to enter by visa is Nigeria. Because most times when you go to the embassy, they will delay you for 6 months. If you pay express charge, they will delay you for 4 months. When the time comes to collect the visa and you come, they will still ask for some money. So getting Nigerian visa is very hard, in case you are not aware. And so you who is a Nigerian, who strolls into the country, you don't know that it's authority you are exercising coming into the country. You wake up, you say, I want to contest for a position. Or you go into a city, you say, I bought a land, I want to build. You'll be shocked. If you go into another country before you buy a land, the bureaucracy required for you to have the right to own a land will shock you. And so the first thing that brings you to authority is birth. And I quoted already from John 1:12. He says, as many as believed, to them he gave what? The authority to become the sons of God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, he says, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. So there is a power we come into the moment we are born of God. Everybody who is born of God, there's a measure of authority he exercises. And I'll do a recap on that before I enter the subject for tonight. So the first thing that brings you into authority, or the first context of the subject of authority, is birth. This kind of authority is attached to your DNA and oftentimes is wielded by inheritance. If you are born into a lineage, you have the power to exercise the privileges that is available to that lineage. The second area where authority can be gleaned is what we call height or position. All of us are Nigerians, but we are not at the same height. The power the president can exercise, if you like, fast and pray for 5 years, you can't exercise it. It takes a unique protocol to sit on that height. And so, being born again or being born into a family affords you a measure of authority. But if you want to exercise more authority, in addition to the right of birth, you need to learn how to ascend. Because there's another kind of authority that is tied to ascension, that is tied to height. If you don't go higher, the person who is higher than you, even though both of you are in the same family with the same citizenship right, he will be superior to you. In fact, height works in a very strange way that if you become higher than your father, you will be shocked. You know, in the army, I didn't know this. A friend of mine, his father joined the army. You know, you can join the army in two ways. Either you join as a recruit, or you join through NDA or Direct Short Service Commission. So this boy, who was carried by his father in his hand, nurtured. In fact, they paid all his school fees. After paying all his school fees, the father now spoke to some of his friends that he was serving in the army to help his son. So the father was the one who raised him. The father was the one who spoke to senior men before the boy was brought into DSS. And when he came into DSSC program, he was commissioned. When they now commissioned him, they sent him to the base where the father was. The father had to resign. Because if the father doesn't resign, when the boy shows up, the father will salute him. Because height is superior to DNA. Height is what? A superior to DNA. I'm showing you dynamics. Because there are many Christians who stand up, they say we are all the same. We are not all the same. You are the same with the person you are operating on the same height with. If I'm a colonel and you are a colonel and we are of the same course, we can say we are the same. But even if two of us are colonels and your course is superior to mine, that means you were a colonel before me. We are still not the same. We are hanging the same rank, but our height is different. And so the second dynamic of authority is tied to height. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21, it says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. But you see, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul said that if we are risen with Christ, then let our affections be on the things above. So legally you are up, but economically speaking, there's a protocol to ascend. If you don't ascend, you will not enjoy the authority that is tied to height. So the first dimension of authority is DNA oriented. You are born into a family, you have the power to exercise authority based on the context of the family you are in. The second dynamic of authority is height. You exercise authority from the degree of height you are operating. Now, when Jesus resurrected in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10, the Bible said he ascended above all heavens, that he may fill all things. So there is a height Jesus had to go to in order to exercise absolute dominion. For those of you who are Bible students, you read in Isaiah chapter 12, from verse 12 to Isaiah 14, from verse 12 to 14, the Bible spoke about a prince who was equal with other angels but wanted to increase his authority. And he knew the technology of height. He said, I will ascend. The moment I ascend, even though I am an archangel with other angels, my height will give me an advantage over them. I will ascend. And he wanted to go to the sides of the north, where the Most High dwells. Because if he goes there, he will operate in the authority of the Most High. And so even though he will be an angel, he will be superior to other angels. And the way God punished him was that God demoted him. And God said, because iniquity was found in you, he said, you shall be cast from Eden, the mountain of God. They were talking business of height. And he didn't just cast him down, he casted him into a pit. So they needed him to be properly descended. Because if this guy has this propensity, something can happen. Hope you know that in Genesis chapter 11, when the men on the earth wanted to exercise superior authority, they said, let us build a house that goes into the heavens. And when God saw them, he said, Kai, this thing these people want to do, if we don't quickly stop this project, if they gain mileage upward, it can confer some kind of authority upon them. And so what God did was that he scattered their language and they stopped that project. When a man goes high, he exercises more authority. And so the second dimension of authority is height oriented. That's what we'll be dealing with tonight. You know, I spoke about authority by birth. Now I want to speak about authority by height. But because I'm listing it already, I give you the other two. So in case I don't visit it, you will study along those lines. You say the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Because when Paul spoke, they went to search to see if the things that were said were so. So height is the second dimension of authority. The third dimension of authority is light. Light. The level of revelation you command is the level of power you exercise. Two people can pray in tongues for 10 hours. Their results will be different, depending on the insight with which they pray. Job chapter 29, verse 2 and 3, he said, as I was in months past, when the candle of God was before me, he said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walked through darkness. Because naturally speaking, contrary forces in the spirit are called darkness. And so when a man accesses light, he rules over darkness. And so in John chapter 1 from verse 4, the Bible said that life is the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. And he said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The excellency of light is not just in the brilliance, it's in its power to confound darkness. Until the world ends, darkness will never have power to rule over light. Light doesn't need to fight darkness. The moment light shows, darkness goes. It's a commandment in the spirit that darkness should not have the authority over light. And so every time a man accesses light, he rules in a dimension. The fourth dimension of authority is by obedience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, he said, casting down imaginations and every high standing thing that upholds itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. He said, when your own obedience is fulfilled, then you shall avenge other disobedience. There are certain oppositions in your life that you can carry your new birth authority to challenge. There are certain other oppositions in your life that you will need obedience to be able to fight. If you don't have obedience in such quarters, even though you are born of God, you'll be a casualty. The reason you find Christians having unexplainable conditions before them is because some of them, all they have is their new birth authority. And so when you find new creation teachers teaching, they say all kinds of things which in themselves are right if other components are kept. But if a new creation walks in disobedience, he will be shocked what principalities will do to him. That's why Paul said, having done all to stand. He didn't say being born again, stand. He said, having done all, there are things you do to be able to stand. Because there is a corridor where they don't fear you because you are born again. There's a corridor where they fear you because you have done all. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me. He didn't say you are the son of God. He said, he found nothing in me. So the authority I have over the prince of this world is not because I'm of God. It's actually because I walk in perfect obedience. And because I'm walking in obedience, no matter what he does, he cannot fight me. I have rule over him. He said, whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. If you obey darkness, even though you are born of God, you'll be a slave of darkness. And so if you want to walk in authority, you will have full understanding of these four dimensions of authority. Number one, you must have understanding of the new birth experience. Number two, you must have understanding of the dynamics of height. Number three, you must have understanding in light of the things that are freely made available to you. Hope you know, when the devil wants to fight you, he blinds you. Because he knows if you become aware, he's in trouble. That's why the prince of this world blinds men. Because if they come into darkness, he can win them. The moment their eyes open, the devil becomes their slave. And then number four is that obedience must be perfected. See, nothing on earth is as beautiful as walking in authority. That's why you find our politicians lobby for it. They cry, they lie, they steal, they manipulate. All they are looking for is to enter authority. If it's their head only that will enter, they will choke it. Put them in. If they come there, they will now breathe well. You will discover everything they said during manifesto was a lie. It was a lie. They needed to enter authority by all means. That was their goal. Somebody will show up and say, we will change this country in 4 years. You? We sang change in this country for more than 2 years. We didn't know it was the strategy to deceive us. After change was sung, we actually saw change. They knew what they were saying. But the change we saw was a reverse. We saw change backward. Did you not see change? But because they are in authority, there's nothing you can do. Whether you love or hate them, it's not a factor. That's why you must get your PVC now and make sure you vote before the election. Because if you relax and somebody who is not qualified enters again, it will take 4 years. Every prayer you are praying, reserve it. That time it will be waste. Because he will be handling the scepter. And even God respects authority. They will die. They will die. It won't happen, no. It is not our prayer that keeps people on the throne. What keeps people on the throne is either their iniquity or their attempt to take the glory of God. Go and read the whole Bible. If that man is in authority, God will protect him. It's ignorance that makes us pray some prayer we pray. You use the collective we of a nation and allow somebody to enter power. You now come back and tell God, kill him. What do you mean? God is a being of justice. That man is in authority, and God is his responsibility to uphold authority. So he won't kill him. The only time God will kill him is if his cup of iniquity is full, or if he takes the glory of God. That's when it will be just for God to kill him. And so, don't relax when you should act and hope that you'll come and pray later. I've seen many people who prayed such prayers. We will not pray that kind of prayer again. We will celebrate this time. And so, are you following me at all? And so if you want to walk in authority, you must understand these truths. These truths are so real that it's not biased. There's no sentiment about it. If you know it and apply it, you will experience it. God is not unjust. God is not biased. Find anybody who is walking gloriously. He knows these things and is applying them. And as you begin to apply them from this service, you will see the level of transitions that you will enjoy in your lifetime. So the first authority, a quick recap, is authority by birth. And I told you, when you are born again, or when you are born of God, you have so much power. In fact, the Bible said you overcome the world. Now, this kind of authority is authority over demons and demonic entities. Listen, every authority has what it is used for. The authority we have in the new birth gives us the power to rule over demonic entities. And the reason is because man had authority over the earth before he fell. When he fell, the devil took his authority. In Matthew chapter 4, when the devil tempted Jesus on the mount, he said, all these things will I give unto you because it has been delivered to me. And so when you are born again, it is authority over demons that was taken from you that is restored back to you. And so the most vital and the most elemental dimension of manifestation of authority in the new birth is against demons. But let me explain to you biblically how you came into that authority. Because if you don't understand it, you would think it's a cliche. This is not a cliche. This is a legal transaction in the spirit. There were four things that happened at new birth that made you become a custodian of the authority of DNA. God didn't just throw it at you casually. The first thing that happened is that you were cleansed of guilt. And the reason is because you lost your authority because of the guilt of sin. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when God wanted to bring you into authority by new birth, what he did was that he cleansed you of guilt. And the way God did it was, number one, he judged you in Christ. So it will become unjust for you not to be given authority or for you to be judged again. This is why in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. He said, but the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that died for me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he said, he made him that was without sin to become sin for you, that you will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what God did was that to take off the guilt of sin, number one, he killed you in Christ Jesus. So when Christ died, you died. So when Christ was risen, you were also risen. The second thing God did was that you were forgiven. And that's the ministry of the blood. Because before God killed the old creation, God had to wash the old creation to be able to even deal with the old creation in the first place. And so what the blood of Jesus did was that he washed you of sin. So when God looks at you, he can't find the sin. If he finds it, he will kill you. And so Colossians chapter 1, from verse 12 to verse 14, it said, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's where the authority came from. But the way he did it was that he proffered unto us redemption in the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of sins. So you were judged in Christ, you were also forgiven in Christ. So when God looks at you and calls you his righteousness, it's not something he's just saying for a lack of word. It's actually a response to a judicial activity that took place in the spirit. So you are not guilty before God. That's why you have the right to exercise the authority of God. And the reason you are not guilty before God is because God judged you in Christ. And in the blood of Jesus, God purged you as well. So you are purged and you are judged. If you are judged again, it will be called the law of double jeopardy. That means double punishment for one offense. In John chapter 5, verse 24 to verse 26, Jesus speaking, he said, whoever believeth in me, whoever, this is a blank check for everybody, whoever believeth in me, he said, as the scripture has said, he has passed from death. He didn't say he is passing. He didn't say he will pass. He said he has passed from death to life. And he will not come into condemnation. He has passed from death to life. This is the economy of the cross. That in the cross, the blood of Jesus cleansed you. And that in the cross, the judgment of God came upon you in Christ Jesus. On account of that, the guilt of sin that refused you the use of authority was withdrawn. And so it will be impossible for you now not to walk in authority. Because what took authority from you was the guilt of sin. Now that the guilt of sin has been dealt with, authority cannot but be resident with you. And so when I'm approaching a demon, I'm not approaching a demon because I did something, as it were. When I'm approaching a demon, I'm approaching a demon because Jesus did something on my account. And so I am coming to the demon, not with my record, but with the record of Jesus Christ. And when the demon sees the record of Jesus, he cannot blame it, because the record of Jesus was presented in a court superior to demonic court. He said he ascended to heaven with his blood and presented the blood to the courts of Zion. That's why the Bible calls his blood the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. And so what the blood of Jesus said in the court of heaven is that he is washed. He is forgiven. He won't come into condemnation. Because of that, every demon now knows that the authority they had over you had been taken away. And so, in the new birth, you have authority because guilt is dealt with. Number two, why do you have authority in the new birth? You have authority in the new birth because the power that was given to you was collected from demons. I told you already from Matthew chapter 4. He said, bow down to me and I will deliver all these things to you, for it has been given to me. The power on earth is one. God gave to Adam when he gave him the earth realm. Let them have dominion. When Adam disobeyed God and obeyed the devil, the baton of authority was handed from Adam to the devil. That's why he became the god of this world. Now, when Jesus obeyed God, what happened was that Jesus took over the baton from the devil and returned it to man. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And when he resurrected, he said, all power, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, on earth has been given unto me. You go in that power. That is why he said, in my name cast out devils. The reason is because the devil has been dethroned of power. What the devil is using now is deception to ensnare those who don't have understanding, because the devil is a skilled being. He's a skilled being. He was an archangel that fell from heaven, and you know, when he fell, God didn't collect what he had. He fell with the authority of an archangel. He fell with the wisdom of an archangel. What he came to do on earth was that he collected the Adamic authority, which is superior to the angelic authority and added to the angelic authority he had. And so when God met him, Jesus stripped him of the Adamic authority and brought the Adamic authority to you. He still has the angelic authority. That's why he can exercise power. But in the game of authority, the Adamic authority is superior to the angelic authority. And so if you don't understand that now you have the Adamic authority, the devil can still oppress you. Yes, he's not powerless because he has angelic power. But his power cannot stand you because you now have a new kind of authority that was handed to you. And so when we contend with the devil, the battle is not equal match. It's just like a counselor fighting with a governor. Everything that counselor has is nothing compared to what the governor has. But if the governor doesn't know he's governor, the counselor can use exaggeration and his little power as a counselor to oppress the governor. But if the governor knows what he carries, both the deception and the little counselor's power will be nothing in his realm. And so when God gave us power, he gave us power in the new birth because he stripped the devil of power. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And Jesus doesn't need that power because Jesus is the living word of God. The power Jesus collected was for you and I. He doesn't need it. He is the Lord of all, from eternity past into eternity future. He came to receive power for you. He doesn't need it. Even the devil knows that he's the Son of God. But he became the Son of Man so that you can become the Son of God. And so he handed you power that Adam lost. Everyone who is in ignorance, when he meets the devil, what the devil does is that he exercises the angelic power that he has as though he's still in possession of Adamic power. And so that man becomes his slave. But a man who has understanding, when he shows up, and the devil will operate like that so long as they are ignorant Christians and so long as they are people on earth who are not born again. It is only we who are born again that can now exercise in the new dominion that we have. For those who are either ignorant or who are not born again, who still constitute the larger population of the earth, they will still keep the devil in that power because they have not come to Christ. Now, let me explain this dynamic to you. When Adam fell on all of our behalf. Are you seeing this? Adam fell on what? All of our behalf. Because all of us were in Adam. Now that Jesus has come, until all of us are redeemed, the devil will not be made powerless in the realm of men. They are still 2/3 of the world population who have not yet accepted Jesus. On the behalf of those ones, the devil will still be exercising dominion. And even among the 1/3 of the earth also that are born again, not all of them have understanding. So on one side, the devil can take advantage of their ignorance and use deception to dominate. And then on another side, for the many who have not yet accepted Christ, whose will are still in the hand of the devil, on the strength of their will, the devil can still exercise authority. And then the devil is a fallen angel. And so on another side, using his angelic dimension, he can still exercise authority. But for you who is born again, who has understanding, the devil has no authority in your realm. And so when Jesus brought us into the kingdom, what he gave us was our measure of the Adamic power that is with the devil. And so when the devil comes to us, there's no match for battle. He is completely defeated because we have entered our new reality. And so what gives you authority as a child of God is that you are born of God. And so the power that you were stripped of in Adam has been restored to you in Christ. You don't know about the unbeliever who is walking the street, but as for you, you have the full measure of your own authority. And because of that, it will be illegal for the devil to trespass your corridor. If he comes there, you can address him. Because when you were born again, your authority was restored to you. And so two reasons why the new birth confers authority is that guilt of sin was dealt with. And secondly, is that authority that was lost in Adam was restored to us in Christ Jesus. So we have a full package of authority over the demonic realm. There's no demon anywhere, whether on earth or in the pit of hell, that can intimidate me. Because I know what empowered him. What empowered him was the guilt of sin. What empowered him was Adamic authority. But when I came into Christ Jesus, the guilt of sin was taken away. When I came into Christ Jesus, my measure of Adamic authority that was with him through my will was withdrawn when I submitted my will to Jesus. And so there is no basis for which he can exercise authority in my quarters. So anybody who is born again has authority over the demonic realm. This is why when Jesus sent out his disciples, none of them came back with bad news. They all exercise authority through Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the beautiful part. The beautiful part is that in addition to these two things that were done, something was given to us. And it's called the name of Jesus. And let me explain something to you quickly. You know, I've shown you the three authority the devil exercises. I said number one is what? Deception. Because there are many believers who don't know what they have. I said number two is the will of those who are not yet born again. Because they were also in Adam. And so he is still exercising authority over them. And then number three, I said his angelic authority. But I say if you are born again, because your own Adamic authority is with you now, the devil cannot rule over you. Because what gave him that right is the guilt of sin and that authority that was given to him through your will in Adam, which is being restored to you now that you are born again. But over and above that, now, if that's all we had, it would have been enough. But that's not all we have. Now, you know that there were two Adams that the earth was given to. The earth was willed to the first Adam. He handed it over to the devil. The second Adam came with another authority. This is why Jesus was walking on the earth. Even though he had not yet collected the Adamic power, the devil couldn't stand him. Because he is also Adam. Remember, the Bible said the first Adam is a living soul. But it said the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. So these are two Adams with two technologies. The Adamic power that the devil has is the Adamic power of the living soul. But there is a superior Adam called the last Adam, who is not just a living soul, but also a quickening spirit. He said the first Adam is of the earth, so he's earthy. He said, but the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And so the authority of the second Adam is superior to the authority of the first Adam. This is why the second Adam can change the error of the first Adam. And so in addition to restoring the authority of the first Adam to us, we are not just walking in that authority. When he said, in my name, what he has done is that he has doubled the operation of the spirit. Because there is a compensated technology that has been activated. And so when we go out, we are not going out as a generation that has the first Adamic authority restored. We are going out as a generation carrying the authority of the second Adam. Because the second Adam, the Bible said that because of what he has done, the Lord has exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The first Adam can still contend, but the second Adam is more than a conqueror. If you carry the authority of the first Adam, the devil can fight with you. Because the first Adam is a dominion. The devil is also a dominion. The first Adam's authority is with those who are born again. But it's also with the devil because of those who are not born again. And so there will be a ground of fighting. So if you have only the first Adamic authority, you can war with the devil. But if you enter the technology of the second Adam, there's no basis of fighting anymore. Because this one is not earthy. This one is Lord from heaven. So you are not operating as a dominion. You are operating in the God class above thrones in Zion. I wish I had... This is not a Bible study. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But hear this. When you are born again, without the name of Jesus, you can fight with the devil. The reason is because your guilt has been taken away. If you are born again without the name of Jesus, you can fight with the devil. The reason is because Adamic authority has been restored to you.
But Jesus didn't leave us at the realm of fighting with the devil. He gave us his own authority. So we have the authority of the second Adam. Even if the first Adam had not fallen, the first Adam is a living soul. The second Adam is one, a quickening spirit. Two, he is Lord from heaven. So the first Adam is from earth. The second Adam is from heaven. So even if the first Adam did not sin, paraventure, if the second Adam was present, he will still be superior to the first Adam. Because the economy of the first Adam is earthy. The economy of the first Adam is a living soul. But the economy of the second Adam is not earthy. It's the Lord from heaven. And is a quickening spirit. So why the first Adam trusts in God, asks God for things, the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. He doesn't ask God for things. He commands things and they happen. He said, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We were not called into an economy of asking. We are called into an economy of giving. So he said, in my name, cast out devils. Did you read that Jesus made a statement that was not operational within the jurisdiction of the first Adam? The first Adam doesn't have right to forgive sins. But the second Adam has authority over sin. They came to him and said, what do you mean? You are blaspheming. Only God has the power to forgive sin. And he looked at them and laughed. Because the one speaking is the Son of God. Now when Jesus was living, this is what he told us. He said, whomever sins you forgive. He said, they are forgiven. That means we are not walking by the authority of the first Adam. The first Adam has no power to forgive sin. Only the second Adam has the power to forgive sin. Because the second Adam is co-equal with the Father. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. The second Adam is a life-giving spirit. So we didn't enter into an authority that was lost. We received an authority that never existed before. And so when we enter the demonic realm, they see a wonder. What they have never seen before. Because we remind the devil of the defeat of Hades. When you want to fight, hear this. When you want to fight, do you fight a man in his own realm? If you fight a man in his realm, he will defeat you. Because he has all the advantages. But Jesus knew that the devil had the authority of the first Adam. And so when he wanted to fight him, he didn't bring him to a neutral ground. He went to Hades. He said he descended and went to Hades. It was in Hades that the match was organized. And while they were in Hades, they summoned dominions. They summoned principalities. They summoned powers. They summoned rulers of the darkness of this world. They summoned demons and they held him down. They thought they had overcome him. But he was there for 3 days, obeying the law of prophecy, so that he will pay the price of the first Adam. When he was done paying that price, the Bible said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead abides in you, he shall quicken. Maria de Hezekiah, Bababane, Bente, Akara, Tatataya. Oh! He was in the grave for 3 days to pay the price, the recompense of the first Adam. Because you have to enter into the first Adam to enter the second Adam. It's a gateway. Having paid that price, he now reminded them in Hades that this is the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth. You can deceive the first Adam because he was created. You can deceive the first Adam because he was a novice. But this Adam you are looking at, I was with God before the foundations of the earth. He said, before the deep were formed, I was with him. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He said, he came into the world, although the world was made by him, but the world received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Already, when he created the first Adam, there were principalities. God didn't tell him to go and cast them out. He said, avoid them, obey me and walk quietly. But when the second Adam was created, he said, you can step on any deadly thing. He said, they shall by no means hurt you. He said, cast out devils. He said, even if you drink any deadly thing, because the second Adam, he's not just a man that has some kind of authority. The second Adam operates in the God class. The second Adam is exactly as God. There is something in the second Adam. It's called life and immortality. Immortality dwells in him. That's why I say whoever is born of God cannot sin. He is incorruptible because an immortal economy has been planted in him. And so the reason the new birth brings you into authority is because through the name of Jesus, you have been summoned to operate in an economy of the quickening spirit. You have been summoned to operate in an economy of the Lord from heaven. You have been summoned to operate in an economy of God. You are not ordinary. You are an extraordinary being. You are an extraordinary being. Things can't fail with you. You can't be defeated. It will take an invention again for you to be overwhelmed if you know this truth. Ah! Thank you, Father. Please sit down. Do you know that the church is a school for angels? In Ephesians 3:10, the Bible said, we are called to showcase the manifold wisdom of God for principalities and powers. The first Adam cannot teach angels. He doesn't know that much. But when you enter the second Adam through new birth, as he is, so you are. That's why I said you need no man to teach you anything. He said, you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know all things. He said, you shall not come into judgment. He said, who is it that understandeth the mind of God that he will judge him? He said, but you have the mind of Christ. It's a strange technology. Why do you think Jesus told the 12 disciples, you shall sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel? Because the old Israel is of the first Adam. But the new Israel is of a superior Adam. They have the power to judge the old Israel. Why do you think he said you will judge angels? You have come into an economy of the Lord from heaven. And so the new birth is something that may take us a lifetime to begin to understand. And that's why I told you on Sunday that if you are born again with the name of Jesus, you are a tormentor in the demonic realm. Listen, when you walk out of this service today, tell yourself you are a terror to demons. Demons shouldn't threaten you. They should be afraid of you. When you show up, they run. It's not a glorious thing that we cast out devils from Christians. It's a pathetic thing. It's a sign of ignorance. It's not a glorious thing that we pray for sick Christians and they are healed. The economy where we operate from, we are only permitted to be like Christ. That's why Paul said, if you've seen me. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. Paul said, be a follower of me as I'm a follower of Christ. And John said, as he is, so are we in this world. Anything you can't find in Christ can't be found in you. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. Present hour revelation. Ah! Can we go forward? I think this is a mouthful.
We may need to chew on this for 1 month. When you read the Bible, you are not reading verses to quote. When you read the Bible, you are on a journey of self-discovery in Christ. You are finding out who you are. That's what you are discovering. You are a wonder. Why God told the first Adam to feed on herbs so that he can survive and be healthy? The second Adam showed up and he said, we live by the Spirit, not by blood. By the Spirit. He showed up, he said, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. The first Adam doesn't know these things. It's a higher realm of authority. And so in the new birth, the guilt of sin was taken away. In the new birth, the right to the inheritance of God's family was given. In the new birth, the Adamic authority that was lost was restored. But over and above that, in the new birth, we were brought into the economy of the life-giving Spirit. Why do you think we go to pray for the sick? When we pray for the sick, we are actually transferring eternal life from our spirit to them. That's what's going on. Let's stop here. He said, we speak wisdom among them that are mature. When you say some things, they will start arguing. That is heresy. When God told us, he said, whomever sins you forgive, he said, they are forgiven. If you knew what that statement, if you knew what it means, your life will change forever. The Pharisees knew that in the canon of priesthood, only God forgives sins. Are you praying the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Power flowing out of people like a river. They've been fasting, they've been praying in tongues, they are bottled with power, but there was no understanding in them. Now that light has broken into their spirit, I'm seeing power flowing out of people like water. And so everyone that received, that comes into that economy now, that economy of overflowing power like a river. In the name of Jesus, take it. That God is selecting for a new assignment. Your authority level has shifted. And so God is ordaining 7 for a new assignment. Go and conquer mountains of influence. Ushers, bring them here now. I want to pray for them quickly. Take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Take that power. Hey,
are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion.
Pardon.
You
are mighty on your throne.
You reign,
you reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion.
We cry, Pardon.
When you come under an atmosphere like this, it's not just about the fact that people have been anointed. When your spirit begins to interact with truth, what happens to you in the spirit is that transfiguration begins to take place. You begin to glow, because the glory, the measure of glory you carry, begins to increase. Some of you will walk out of this place into your jobs, and you will discover that glory has increased. Things will begin to happen. Some of you will speak, and you will discover glory has increased. Because it's not just about the anointing resting upon you. It's about measures of glory. Measures, measures. And so step into higher measures. Step into higher measures. Step into higher measures.
Great for
oh, Spirit of the deep, cry out,
God,
oh,
you are mighty on your
throne.
Break forth,
oh, Fountain of the deep,
cry out,
you are
mighty on your
and demonic strongholds are breaking up. I'm seeing something like a dark garment upon a lady here, and it has attracted only reproach. Only reproach. Everywhere you go, even if they were favoring people as you come, they stop. It's a demonic operation. And those powers and those operations, they are beginning to break down. And so wherever this one is, that is carrying this garment of reproach, in the name of Jesus, come out of that reproach. Come out. Come out.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign,
you
reign.
You are ancient Zion.
You are ancient Zion.
Catina Santa.
You reign, 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 Carlos.
You are mighty on your throne.
There are many things happening here at the same time. At the same time, I'm seeing an adult almost becoming 30, bedwetting. It's a life of reproach. They have reduced the quality of their existence. There are many things God is correcting now. I'm seeing someone, you started 3 businesses, all of them failed. 3 businesses. You are about entering the 4th one.
And that one too, it has been programmed to fail. It has been programmed to fail. I'm seeing somebody else, your mouth, periodically you find yourself coughing blood. And there's this offensive odor that comes with you. It has now brought you to a place of a lack of confidence. You don't even have confidence enough to prosecute your destiny. All of this oppression, they are breaking now. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? I'm just calling the things happening. But more than that is what is going on now. You run, you run, you run.
You reign forever. We quite our door. You are mighty.
In the name of Jesus. You know, demons. Demons they've ravaged people so much. If you have 50 people and you want to say what demons do, you can literally write a list and read it out. Because of the mayhem that they've caused people. And so I don't have time. If I'm calling it, I'll be reading it like a book. But you see, a fire is about to descend here. And every demonic oppression, from family crisis to health crisis to business crisis to relational crisis to even spiritual crisis, they are about to break. In the name of Jesus, I'm trying to manage that. And that's why I'm bumping them together. I'll call the name of Jesus 3 times. All you need to do is to shout the loudest amen you can. Chains are about to fall off people. Chains. Chains. Ushers, at least 2 people will come under intense fire radically. You need to be sensitive to help them. We'll just call the name of Jesus 3 times. As we exalt that name, chains will break. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now take that fire. I break the chain. I break the chain. I break the chain. Tarakatana. Verekataya. Batak. Netafina. Barona Satagas. I break the chain. Family crisis. On ground, online, break. Marede, Masakina, Baradada. Health crisis. On ground, online, break. I break the chain. Help them quickly, help them quickly. Demonic manipulation around your finances. I break them now. Everyone demonized, everyone possessed, now in the name of Jesus, I release you. I release you. I release you. Everyone tormented, I break that siege now. I break that siege now. I command demons in the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. Bring them forward, bring them forward.
on ground, on life. Now be free in the name of Jesus. Manipulations, reducing the quality of your life, reducing the quality of your existence. I curse those manipulations. I break them now. I break them now. I break them now. Come out. Everyone stay right. Everyone be ridden at night. Some of you as donkeys. Some of you as horses. They ride you at night. Now, now, now. I break those powers. That dog spirit. That donkey spirit. That camel spirit. That snake spirit. Serpentine devils. Come out in the name of Jesus. This. Some of you, they've planted things in your bellies, creating disease and discomfort. And some of you at night, the moment you close your eyes, they ride on you like donkeys, turning you to a slave and reducing the quality of your existence. Now the fire of God is about to fall to deliver. It's about to fall to deliver. As I shout the name of Jesus, scream the highest hallelujah, and let that fire come upon you. In the name of Jesus, come out! Come out!
Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey.
Jesus, the Lord is about to correct errors that demons have made in people's bodies. Some of you, they've tampered with your ovaries. Help that woman. Some of you, they've tampered with your sperms. Some of you, they've tampered with your minds. Some of you, they've tampered with delicate part of your body. Now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. Everyone here, that demons have tampered with their bodies, their ovaries so they can be fertile, their sperms so that they can be fertile, their mind, in the name of Jesus, I break those powers. I break those powers. I correct those body parts. Maite Barato, he said the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. I release life now. I release life now. Everything wrong in your body by demonic powers, I correct them now.
Thank
you, Father. And finally, your finances. Some of you, doors, listen, doors have been shut around you. Anywhere you turn, you meet a block. You meet a rock. Turn left, turn right, go forward, go backward. Nowhere to go. And some of you, they build pockets, holes in your pocket, that everything that comes to you leaks away. Whatever manipulation demons have done around your finances, by the power of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, and by the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, now in the name of Jesus, over your finances,
Receive your deliverance now. Receive your deliverance now. Receive your deliverance now. The fortunes that are tied, I lose them. I lose them. Hear this. For some of you here, through demonic intelligence, they have tied your fortune beneath the sea. Some of you, they've tied your fortune in the forest. Walk and walk. Be intelligent as you can be. But no couple will come to honor your intelligence, because your fortunes have been locked away. Every fortune that is locked away in the belly of the sea, in the forest, in the ground, in the name of Jesus, I command them to be returned. I command them to be returned. I command them to be returned. Bayede, Arako, Bashkadaya, the Zedanish, I command your fortunes to return now. Mayede, Betekabara, Zazana, Farienda, Bedish, Bariado, Kabakarish. That technology in darkness, that invention in darkness that defies your hard work, defies your intelligence, defies your connection, because your fortunes have been tied, I break them now. I break them now. Hear me. If your fortunes are tied, if you like, be a family friend of the Minister of Finance. If you like, work in the president's office. They will give you cars to give to others. They will give you contract papers to give to others. But they will not remember that you have needs. You will work, but this intelligence will defy your connections. It will defy your intelligence. It will defy your hard work. Every power that the devil has created that defies everything in you that should bring income, I rise up against them now by the authority in the name of Jesus. I command those dark intelligences, go down now. Go down now. Go down now. Hey, yeah, yeah. 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 Hear this. We are changing demonic programming. There are some of you here, your eyes have been blinded. You can never see where riches come from. There are some of you, your ears are deaf. You can never receive strategic direction that leads to your advantage. And there are some of you here, your steps are manipulated. You can't walk into your advantage. I speak by the blood, and I speak by the authority in the name of the risen Christ. Every program fired at you as an arrow that causes you to walk out of fortune, I command them now to burn by fire. I command them now to go down for your account. In the name of Jesus, receive direction, receive guidance, receive the way to fortune, receive the way to abundance. In the name of Jesus. Reduce the quality of your life. Some of them are partnering with evil men to waste and to defy your existence. But hear this, as surely as the Lord liveth, as you walk out of this place, your relationship with God is restored. Everything that has taken you away from intimacy with God, they are banished from your life now. As you walk out of this place, everything that is fighting your establishment, financial establishment, health establishment, establishment, societal establishment, and challenging your relevance. In the name of Jesus, they are bound. I decree over you, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen over you. Arise in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. Hear this. I'm rounding up. The Lord is telling me now. He said there are 12 men is anointing with power over demons and the demonic realm. Let me tell you something. The wickedness of demons and the number of demons necessitates that every believer should cast out devils. That's one thing God gave to every believer. He said, if they believe and are baptized, he said, these signs will follow them. He said, in my name, they will cast out devils. There are too many devils, and the propensity of demons are too dangerous for a believer to walk without power over demons. And so tonight, 12 of you.
Wait. Just play the keyboard for me.
There are 12 of you that are specially being anointed, not just to cast out devils, but to destroy demonic systems and demonic installations. If you walk into a family where demons are operating, because you showed up, they will go down. If you walk into a business where demons are operating, because you showed up, they will go down. Now, Father, you said you are anointing and ordaining 12 tonight with special ability over demons and demonic installations wherever they are. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 12 of them. Ushers, find them for me. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Take that fire now. Take that fire now. When you show up, demons flee. Barate, Azazayana, Marakina, Faragata, Jayak, Palilo, Sebaite, and Zazali, Garata, Nivagaya. I'm seeing somebody at the overflow outside. There's an anointing coming upon you for a shift. God is doing a quick work. There's a special anointing coming upon someone there. In the name of Jesus, I release that fire. Take it now. Thank you, Father. Enedu dabu eno. Ojo du dabu eno. Ohiminiye. Akwata kibisiye.
Thank you, Father. Help the brother. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh. Some of you will go home tonight, you will not be able to sleep. God will give you a new wine.
Because you will need to operate in a new dimension. The run God is taking you to, you need higher intoxication in the spirit. And so God baptize these men afresh tonight. Strange things happening to men. Strange things. Some of you will find your bodies as though you are being mutilated. You will lose coordination over your body for a while. There is a grace downloading on you. There's an energy downloading on you. New operations are being installed in you by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. If you can't, sit down for a moment. Please help me lay hands on them. My God. Your life, listen, the quality of your life just changed forever by the Spirit of the living God. What we do is not a cliche. When you are brought into it, the things that will start happening around you will show. My friend chatted me up from Kenya yesterday. He said, I came here on Sunday, and while you were imparting, I rushed and you touched me. He said, I went to Kenya, I was singing, as he always sang, and a deaf ear popped open. Because when you are upgraded, it will show. Somebody's life has just shifted to another realm. Thank you, Father. Maybe on Sunday, I will not do a recap. I will just start from the dimension of height so that we will understand the technology of ascension. But hear this. The idea is not just to stir you, but it's to give you understanding. In the new birth, you came into authority. And the reason you came into authority is because, number one, your guilt was cleansed. Number two, you were forgiven. Number three, you came into an inheritance because you came into a new family. And number four, the name of Jesus was given to you as your seal operating in the order of the second Adam. As you leave this service, beyond the message you've heard and the experiences you've had, may everything that validates the presence of authority begin to work in your life. Ranging from transformation to the power to create change to the power to enforce government and the power to steal and to silence the avenger. Become a wonder to your world. So, let it be written. And so, let it be established. In Jesus' name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.